Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 69, the first two verses. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. 1 and 2 of 69. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, thereof the 16th chapter, the first 20 verses. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Matthew chapter 16, the first 20 verses. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing in his presence, and also in a special way, may we remember our young friends who hope to make public confession of faith. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things, upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. And in thy goodness and mercy and long-suffering patience, we may be together in thy house in this morning, again to hear from thy precious word what thou hast to say unto us. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would gather with us. Thou hast promised in thy word where two or three are gathered together in thy name that thou wilt be in the midst. And Lord, thou art that faithful God to an unfaithful people. Thou art that merciful God to a sinful people. And we are sinful, and our children, the whole congregation, all of us here, all listening along, we all have the same name, sinner. And Lord, we all know it. But do we really know it? Has it ever become that we have become a lost, guilty, condemned sinner before thee, a holy and just God, who will by no means clear the guilty, and we are guilty? But oh, may we also then hear that thou art that merciful, that gracious God, through those merits, through the blood of thy dear Son, to unworthy sinners, to hell-worthy sinners, to enemies. Oh, we beg and pray thee then, come among us and bless thy word irresistibly by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again, that unrepentant, hardened sinners' hearts may break, and that they may truly, by thy grace, repent. But also, that thou would work that faith in the hearts by the hearing of the word, thy word. Lord, we have heard already law and gospel. Oh, may thy law be a mirror before each one of us to show us who we are, who thou art, that thou art holy and we are sinful. That, oh, wilt thou also bless the preaching of the gospel? Wilt thou reveal thy Son unto us? Oh, may he become so necessary, suitable, but also precious. Lord, we beg thee then richly bless the preaching of thy word to the coming of thy kingdom, that sinners may be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, it's thy work. Look upon us then in mercy, and do above all that we can think and ask for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal welfare. Lord, remember then also all thy dear people. Thou knowest also what they need, all thy lambs, all thy sheep. Oh, wilt thou instruct those who need instruction in the only way of salvation through him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, remember those who are going astray, bring them back. Those who need admonishment and correction. Lord, let us also remember those who long for a little comfort, those poor and needy beggars, wretched, sinful, polluted, who hunger and thirst for the living God. Oh, wilt thou give a little crumb from the Master's table? Satisfy them with thyself, with thy mercy, with thy goodness, through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. He who kept thy law, and we are transgressors. He who paid that price for those who must pay and have nothing. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then remember in thy mercy the whole congregation. May we pray especially for our young friends who will make public confession of faith and answer those questions and give a promise, an oath, a vow before thee. Lord, give them grace not only to answer, but also to live accordingly, and may it be seen through their life. Lord, remember them. Remember their parents and grandparents and families, but the whole congregation may witness. Oh, give thankful, humble, broken hearts. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all the mourning ones. Oh, wilt thou remember the widows, widowers, those who have lost children, other family members, those who stood around an open grave in this past week. Remember the Colmy family, also the Honkoop family. Lord, we beg thee, thou art the God of all comfort. Oh, teach us of that only comfort that is in thee in life and in death, and that as I do not belong to myself, but that I belong unto thee, that faithful Savior. Lord, remember also the Avering family. It's a year ago that also one of their sons passed away. Lord, remember them, comfort them. And Lord, thou art speaking unto us through thy precious word, but also through thy acts of providence. Oh, wilt thou give us an ear to hear that thou art saying, prepare to meet thy God. And we beg thee, Lord, prepare us and our children to meet thee in peace. Oh, teach us those necessary lessons that thou wilt teach thy people. How great my sins and miseries are, that I'm lost, guilty, worthy of condemnation before a holy God, but also that they may come to know by thy grace of that great deliverer, of that precious redeemer, of thy dear son, that in him is complete salvation for completely lost sinners. And oh, then it will flow out of their hearts and life gratitude unto thee. Lord, we beg thee then, remember the whole congregation. Remember the sick and afflicted, all those with cares and needs for the body and for the mind. May we ask thee again, especially those who are seriously sick. We think of Jeff Valdesgraf. We think of Luciana. We think of also Mr. Carl Van Brugge and others. Lord, remember each one in thy mercy. Bless the means for their body, if it is thy will, that they may yet live. But if it is not thy will, oh, we beg thee, Lord, give grace in their hearts. Prepare them for that day. But for all of us, we all have that written before us. The wages of sin is death. But what a wonder that thy word also teaches us that the gift of eternal life is through thy Son. Oh, make us seekers for that only Savior, and that thou hast promised that those that seek thee with their whole heart shall find thee. Lord, work mightily then, because we hear thy precious word. We may know it with our minds. We confess it with our mouth. But is there true life? Oh, Lord, work mightily then. Renew hearts and draw sinners unto thyself and reveal thyself through thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we lay before thee all thy servants throughout the world who are called to preach the precious gospel. Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Take away all the fear of men. Take away all the desire of the praise of men, and that we may be in thy hands. Remain in ourselves, sons of men, sinners, but instruments in thy hand, that we may be a voice crying in the wilderness, thus saith the Lord, and that thou would bless it. Lord, bless all mission work locally in prisons, but also throughout the world among Jew and Gentile. Oh, we beg thee that thy kingdom may come among thy covenant people, but also through the nations. And Lord, thou hast entrusted unto us as a denomination to bring thy word to Bolivia. Bless it richly, that many Bolivians would be born again, come to know their true name, sinner, and come to know that name of that only Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help all thy servants there, all missionaries, evangelists, church workers, elders, deacons. Give them what they stand in need of to be faithful to thy word, and that thou would bless it richly. Lord, then we beg thee in this morning, come among us, give much prayer, help to listen, give ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive, and give a tongue. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word. Lord, bless it, that we may say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Give us a good hour. Take away all the distractions. Cast out Satan. Lord, have mercy upon us. We deserve nothing. We can only bring before thee all our sins, all our iniquities, but we beg and plead all these petitions upon him whom we remembered in this past week, who ascended as that interceding high priest. Oh, may he be interceding for us and through him, that thou would answer us and give those blessings that no man can give. Oh, may there be a little water for the thirsty. May there be a crumb from him who said, I am the bread of life. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 71, all five stanzas. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? Well, God, my strength, my life sustains. Secure from fear, my soul remains. 71, all five stanzas. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the Rehoboth Christian School. May the Lord remember you and bless you and your gifts. 71, all five stanzas. Thank you. Dear congregation, all visitors, young people, and especially also confession of faith class, I would like to ask your attention to the precious word of God, which we read in Matthew 16, verses 15, 16, and 17. Matthew 16, 15, 16, and 17. Matthew 16, verse 15. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So far from God's precious word. The theme this morning is Peter's personal confession of faith. Peter's personal confession of faith. And we will focus on three thoughts this morning. First, a personal question. We see that in verse 15. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? So a personal question. Second, a personal confession. We see that in verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then, what would you write for verse 17? A personal revelation. Verse 17, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And so, Peter's personal confession of faith, a personal question, a personal confession, and a personal revelation. And so, with the Lord's help, our first thought, a personal question. So, congregation, in this history, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's apart with the disciples for a time in prayer, as we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And in our imagination, we see the Lord Jesus Christ ending his prayer, and now he is walking with his disciples in the area and the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And we can see him sort of turning. Maybe his disciples were following, and he asks them a question, which we read in verse 13. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? So this question is about someone. This question is about Jesus of Nazareth. Who is he? Many people had this question. Who is he? Many people throughout the history of the world, also in the Bible, also men without grace, they also asked this question, who is he? You want an example? Well, in Luke, we read in Luke 9, verse 9, Herod the Tetrarch. He said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And yet we know Herod was a graceless man. And he also had the question, who is he? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? So in the history of the church, there has been many debates, battles, bloodshed over one question. Who is this? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is Christ? And you think of the Athanasian Creed, of how it defines especially the deity of Christ. So it's not about what he does so much. It's not about, in the first place, this question of what he gives, but it's about who he is. Who is Jesus Christ? And this is a most fundamental question. It's a salvation pending question. Congregation, friends, this sermon is for all of us. You cannot be wrong about Christ and who he is and be right with God. You cannot be ignorant about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and have salvation. Be in a right relationship, reconciled with God. You get this wrong, this fundamental biblical truth of who Christ is, and you will eternally perish, lost. Salvation is by knowing Jesus Christ, the second person, that blessed person in the Trinity. And now we heard the word know, knowing him. But knowing isn't in the Bible about up here in your head, because I think we all could say many things historically about Jesus Christ. And you have learned that also in Confession of Faith class. But knowing speaks about a profound, intimate, deep relationship. So it's not about historical faith in the first place. That's a blessing. Yes, it is. To know the truth, to have the word, to hear the truth. But knowing is a word of a relationship, experientially knowing in your heart. In your heart. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So it's not only knowing some details, knowing his name and be able to write it down, but it's about having a relationship, a profound relationship, sheep with the good shepherd, as we read in John 10, verse 4. He said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So may I ask you, no, this is not just a sermon for the Confession of Faith class. It's for all of us. Is there a relationship with God? Does he know you? Has he found you? Has he made you his object of love? And you are a subject of his mercy, of his grace, of his love? And because of him knowing you, finding you, renewing you, seeking you, making you alive, that you, by God's grace, know him, belong to him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you heard the law lost, and you heard the blessed gospel. Has he revealed his son to you? And therefore, do you know him? Jesus asked his disciples, as we read in verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ use the phrase Son of Man? Why didn't he use what we would think is a higher phrase, Son of God? Is this an inferior phrase? No, it's not. The Son of Man is a most glorious phrase. At home, if you read in your Bible, in Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14, one prophecy about him, the Son of Man, it speaks about his glory and of his power. So the Lord Jesus Christ, with the term, the phrase Son of Man, is not using a lower phrase. It's who he is. But he also wants to hear from the mouth of the disciples who he is, that they themselves would not only confess that he's man, but that he's something else, much greater. Because many thought he was only a man. And so the Lord Jesus doesn't ask them directly right away, whom do ye say that I am? He first asks them more in general, who do men say that I am? The Lord Jesus knows everything. He knows how those disciples that were following him thinking. He knows how you are thinking, confession class. He knows us as a congregation. He knows everything about every one of us, all our hearts, and what we think of him. And what we think of that Savior, Jesus Christ. So why did he ask them this question? He's preparing them. He first asks a more general question, and he's going to come to the core. But he's testing them. He's testing them already. Disciples, you have heard so much about all kinds of other things, opinions and thoughts about me. Have they been influenced by those winds of doctrine at that time of who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Or are they convinced in their hearts of who he is? In confession of faith class, with the Lord's help, I tried to teach you the precious truths of the Word of God, also of who that second person is. And you hear many winds of doctrine. It's in the world that blows throughout the entire world. But are you convinced of the truth of the Word of God, of who he is, who you are, and also of that only way of salvation through that only Savior for absolutely, completely lost sinners? Do you believe the truth? It's by grace alone, by faith alone, and it will be only to the absolute glory of God alone. And so the Lord Jesus asked the disciples this question: whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? How did they respond? Well, we read that in verse 14. In Matthew 16, verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Or we read in Luke that one of the prophets have risen again. And so there are many different opinions and thoughts of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we can get into great deal to detail why they thought. We will let that pass by for now. So many thoughts and opinions. But the Lord Jesus Christ is none of these opinions of what those people had at that time. And today also, there are many thoughts, many truths, no, not truths, many teachings of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Ask a Muslim. He was a prophet, nothing more. Ask a Jehovah's Witness when they knock on your door. No, don't slam the door. Talk to them. They have a soul. Tell them who that Savior is. They need to hear it. And they say he's only a man, but he's God. Otherwise, we're lost. Ask a Jew. Talk to them also. Who is Jesus Christ of the New Testament? And they will say he's not the Messiah. And I'm sure you know these truths. We do. But let's come a little closer. There's other truths. There's other winds of doctrine. Arminius, that's dead. No, it's not dead. It's living yet. What do they think of Christ? They think in the root of their doctrine, what they preach and what they teach, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious Savior, he made salvation possible. Possible. And now man, you need to make the decision. Man still has the capability in his deprived, human, wicked heart, the ability to choose with the heart for grace, to repent, to believe, and they depend upon man's actions. The Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible, but the root cause is they don't see what man has become. Class, for the glory of the Lord, he hasn't made salvation possible. He's not only a complete meriting Savior, he's also applying Savior. And we keep thankful for this, because without it, we're completely, absolutely still lost. Because who will ever with their heart ever decide and choose for the precious Savior? And he's worthy that we would all. But our hearts are desperately wicked, dead in sins and trespasses, and we need God's irresistible renewing grace. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Notice they didn't share anything with the Lord Jesus of those real wicked thoughts. A wine bibber, a gluttonous man, that he did these miracles in the power of Satan and of the devil, that he's Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. They didn't share that, those opinions. Why? Because they knew where they were so false, but what else? They didn't want to share such wickedness with their precious master because they loved him. They loved him. But the question is, the Lord wanted to know, he wanted to know from their mouths, have they been influenced with all the different winds of doctrine? Do they personally know him? He wants to hear it from their mouth. Do they know him according to the record of God's word? Whom do men say that I am? The disciples were going to preach the gospel. And how can they preach the gospel? How can we evangelize? How can we share the precious gospel here or through the world without knowing who Christ is? And so now the Lord Jesus comes to the core. A personal question. Matthew 16, verse 15. But whom say ye that I am? So you, I could say you congregation, whom do you say that I am? But I also can say you and you, each one individually. And that's how the Lord Jesus asked this question to the disciples in general. Each and every single one. Peter, John, Thomas, whom do ye say that I am? But he also says it in general. Maybe you came this morning to the church, longing and waiting to hear the questions that were asked these young friends, and you wanted to hear their answers. But this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a question for absolutely every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. He has a question, whom do you say that I am? It's a question for boys and girls, for teenagers, for adults, for older ones, for men, for women. Who do ye say that I am? Confession of faith class, it's also a question for you. Whom do ye say that I am? Who am I? What do you think of Christ? Who am I for your soul? A very personal question. And you don't have to answer me. The Lord is asking that question. And you need to answer him. How does Peter respond? Now we come to our second thought. A personal confession. Immediately Peter responds on behalf of the disciples, but also individually, personally. Mark records it as we read in Mark 8, verse 29, thou art the Christ. Luke records it, Luke 9, verse 20, thou art the Christ of God. But what do we read in Matthew 16, verse 16? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter makes personal public confession of who he is. May I say it in my own words? He looks at the Lord Jesus and says, you are the Messiah. You are the promised one. You are the promised one of the Old Testament that would come. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the Son of God. You asked us, am I? Who am I? Who am I, the Son of Man? And he answers, thou art that anointed one. Thou art that appointed one. But more, who is he? He's the Savior of sinners. Peter sees him as a sinner, that Christ is the Savior of sinners. My friend, may I ask you, do you know yourself as a sinner? And is there an absolute urgent need to be reconciled with a holy, just God who can by no means clear the guilty? And you and yourself are absolutely, completely lost. Lost in self. Nothing to pay, bankrupt with the burden of sin. But has he shown you, led you, drawn you, revealed unto you, which we hope to speak in the last point, of his precious Savior? Peter confessed in Luke 5 verse 8, I am a sinful man. Peter knew that. But he also confessed of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the Messiah. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. And so true personal confession includes the mouth and the heart. In summary, these two things. These two things. That I am sinful. That I am guilty. But also, it's a confession of something. A little knowledge of who the Christ is. Confession is with the heart and the mouth. Open your Bible, please, to what Paul wrote. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, what true, real confession of faith is. Romans 10, we'll read verse 9 and 10. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we hear confession, true confession of faith, needs to be made with the heart and the mouth of knowledge of who God is, self, and of who that Savior is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Christ. We read something very beautiful of who Christ is in the Heidelberg Catechism. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, question and answer number 13. And you can find it in the back of the Psalter if you'd like to read along on page 40. Lord's Day 12, question and answer 31. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body hath redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. What an answer. What a comfort for the church. What a comfort for his lambs, for his sheep, those that know him and belong unto him, who Christ is. Now, did Peter with this confession, is he confessing all this? I don't think so. How do we know? Well, because later in the same chapter in Matthew 16, verse 22, we read when the Lord Jesus said he was going to suffer and die. What did Peter say? And he began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee." So Peter confessed something. He knew something. He knew something of Christ. So important. And yet, with his knowledge, he needed to learn so much more. I think of Paul. You would say Paul in the Bible. If there was a man in the Bible that knew Christ, you would say it was Paul, with what he all wrote in Romans and those epistles. And what did Paul say? He said, "That I may know him." Paul knew him. But they're not satisfied with a little knowledge and say, "That's good." No. There's a longing to know him more. That's Paul. He knew him and he wanted to know him more. So what a lesson. What a lesson. What a blessing to know him a little. But there's so much more, and they're never satisfied because they hunger for him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what else do we learn about this confession from Peter? What's a lesson for us? Some say that saving faith, listen closely, is only be able to say that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And if you cannot confess that with the assurance of your heart, you do not have true saving faith. Is that true? Is that true? It's not true. Thomas Brooks, I believe he wrote a book, The Precious Remedies of Satan's Devices, and he wrote a whole chapter. What chapter? Those poor beggars may have great faith and lack assurance of it, but they're saved. No, we do not promote any kind of doubt, any kind of unbelief, but we have pity. We stand beside those poor beggars who long to be able to say he's mine, but they cannot. But they need to grow in grace and knowledge of him and by the grace of God. But another thing, Peter said what? What did he say? What was his confession? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did we hear the Lord Jesus rebuke him? Peter, that's not a correct confession, Peter. It's nothing. I don't want to hear it until you can say, my Christ, my Savior. He didn't. He didn't rebuke him. Not at all. What did he say? We'll consider that in the third thought. So, true saving faith is by the work of the Holy Spirit they know something of themselves, the essential of who they are, of what God says. And they're led and shown through the Word of God, of that Savior, Jesus Christ. And they come to need Him. They have an experiential knowledge of being lost, not just a confession with the mouth because they know it in their heads. It becomes real. And they have no hope in self anymore at all. But they need Him whom they may hear or read through the Word of God of that only Savior. They are absolutely assured of two things. No hope in me of ever being able to stand before that holy God with anything of self lost. And they are assured of something else. That He, the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the Savior. Thou art that precious Savior of sinners who I need for my soul to be reconciled with the Holy Almighty God. Saving faith is knowing by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of self, of God, and of the Savior. And it needs to grow, and it will grow. How will it grow? Will they become better and better Christians? Is that your future? Confession class, that you become better and better Christians? No. What's the experience? They must decrease, that He would increase. That's dying to everything. Because through dying to everything Himself, He becomes so precious, so necessary, so suitable for lost sinners. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." What else do we learn from this confession and the question? This is the most important, fundamental question. No, we're not going to ask you this morning, what do you think of the Cortland Church? We're not going to ask you, what do you think of our denomination? No, but we're going to ask one question, and it's for all of us. Wherever you may gather, it's not about that you belong to a church on this earth that's a blessing. Faithfully attend to the Word of God. But what think ye of Christ? Who is Christ for your soul? That's the question. How would you answer? Can you answer with Peter as a lost sinner, seeing Him revealed to you? Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. My heart goes out to Him. I need Him. Oh, that He may be mine. Yes, they long in the depths of their heart. They have no rest until they may know that He is theirs. But they long for Him to know that His righteousness covers all their unrighteousnesses, and to know that His blood washes them from everything, from all their sin, because then through Him, God the Father can look upon them and smile with favor and have communion with them. And that's what they long for. Can you say with a broken and a contrite heart, Thou art the Christ, Thou art the Son of God? So a personal question. But whom say ye that I am? A personal confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Before we go to our last thought, let us first sing from Psalter 162, both stanzas. And we'll do that standing. 162, both stanzas standing. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior, He has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. And what follows? 162, stanzas 1 and 2, standing. Peter's personal confession of faith, we heard a little something of the personal question. Also for you, whom do you say that I am? We heard something of a personal confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now our third thought, a personal revelation. Congregation, Peter, before the Lord Jesus Christ, he made public confession of faith in Christ, about Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How will the Lord Jesus Christ respond to his confession? Congregation, friends, if you can make this confession by God's free and sovereign grace, because that's the only hope, but if you may, how should we respond? How should we? But it's more important. How does the Lord Jesus Christ respond? The Lord Jesus Christ heard. He heard what came out of the mouth of Peter, but came out of his heart. He heard it. How does he respond? He heard it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How will the Lord Jesus Christ respond to Peter? What will he say to Peter? Peter, Peter, you're such a good man. Thank you. You're so right. That's so beautiful. Peter, what a good confession. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter, for confessing me. Peter, I praise you. I praise you for this great confession. No, he doesn't. What can we see in our imagination? As the Lord Jesus Christ did in Matthew 11, what do we see? He raises his eyes, he hears it in his ears, and we could so in our imagination, he looks up to heaven. He looks up to heaven, and he thanks his Father. He thanks the Almighty God that there's a sinner before him that confesses with his mouth of who he is. Let's read that. Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus gives no glory to that man. That man who has grace, but he gives glory to his Father. Because he is the eternal fountain of grace, and out of him sinners will be saved of the precious, majestic, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Peter confesses, but is it true? Is it a true confession? How may we know? Because what the Lord Jesus Christ says, he calls Peter blessed. Blessed. Those who believe in themselves is lost. Greater degree or less, but know the essence of being lost. But especially who may confess, who may believe in that only Savior of sinners in Jesus Christ. And are not afraid to confess it publicly before men for his honor and for his glory. They are blessed. What does it mean, that word? Children, listen. You want to be happy, right? We all want to be happy. We all seek happiness on this earth. Older ones, us too. But what is it to be really, truly happy? What is it to be truly, deeply, profound, satisfied with joy in your heart and in your soul that the world cannot give at all? Blessed is to be truly, supremely happy. Happy, not in self. Happy in him, and knowing him, and being longing to him. Listen to what we read in Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Or we read in Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. The Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Blessed means to be favored with grace. That's my prayer for you. Confession class, that you may be blessed with grace in your souls. In your souls. But that's my prayer for everyone here, because we all need it. We need to be blessed. We need to be favored with his grace, as the angel said to Mary. Remember, Luke 1, verse 28, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." She was a recipient of God's grace. God blesses sinners, unworthy sinners. How were these sinners? It's blessings, it's mercy, it's grace. What's grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. It flows to them through the blood of the precious Lamb. Blessed. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5 calls the citizens of heaven recipients of grace. He calls them blessed, supremely blessed. Blessed are those who are taught how poor and sinful they are, not in their hearts but in their minds. You say, "I don't want to learn that. That's scary. That's painful." But it's such a blessing and so necessary. No, it's not a qualification. We don't preach a gospel of qualification, but it's of necessity to make room in that heart for the Savior. That's how God works. And He still works that way, teaching. But they hear, those poor wretched ones, they hear of Christ. They have Him. They hear through the gospel of the precious Savior. They're drawn to Him by what they hear by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're taught by Him and revealed. He's revealed to their soul. Revealed to them. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And by hearing of Him, by drawing to him, and by Him being revealed, and to have trust in Him. Faith worked by the hearing and the revelation of the gospel of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that are blessed. And if you miss this, whether you've made public confession of faith in the past, or you're going to make it, if you miss this, I cannot say in any way upon the word of God that you are blessed. You are absolutely poor. But if you know this life of grace, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of God the Father, of that precious Savior for wretched sinners, you're so blessed. So absolutely blessed. No, it's not a blessing to be just a confessing member of a church or the Church of Cortland or another church. But to be really, truly blessed is to belong to the living church, the church where Christ is King and Savior and Lord, guide, protector, helper, feeder. He's everything for wretched sinners. For sinners. Many make confession with their mouth, but I fear so many times it's only with their mouth. They can say so many things of self. They can say so many things, but the Lord knows their hearts. But if they only make it with their mouth, it's nothing in the sight of God. They miss essential teaching, revelation of God, of who they are, and of who Christ is. To know Him is to have life. To be known of Him is to have life. The revelation. God the Father reveals His Son. The Son reveals the Father. So we read in the Word of God. And those to confess the Son, they need the revelation of the Holy Ghost. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So what do we see? The Father reveals the Son reveals the Father, and the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. And by Him, they may confess Him. So we see complete salvation in a triune God for sick people that need a little boost. No, for absolutely dead, lost sinners. For completely, totally depraved sinners. And all the glory will be to Him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The Lord Jesus desires that His Father receives all the glory, and that He receives all the glory, because He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Lord will receive all the glory to a never-ending eternity of all the redeemed that will put their crown before Christ, the anointed and appointed Savior of sinners. Jesus doesn't praise Peter. He doesn't. But he gives all praise to his Father. To his Father for revealing the truth to Peter. Flesh and blood, no man. No man, no minister, no elder, no deacon, no missionary, no man can reveal it to you. But God the Father by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. And who are we by nature? We can hear these things. Maybe we say, nice message. Maybe, maybe not. But who are we when we hear these things by nature? What do we read in the Word of God? Open your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Is that you yet? Your eyes are blinded. You don't see the precious beauties of Christ. You don't even hunger for him because you don't see yourself. But those who learn something of self by the work, by the grace of God, they begin to pray. They begin to pray as the poet in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy word. What do they want to see? Ask them. Do they only want to see more sin? Is that them? They have a hunger for someone, for a person. For a person. They hunger for Christ. They want to see the wonders and the beauties of the precious Savior because that's their only comfort. That's their only way back to God. That's their only way of reconciliation. Revealed unto him. What does that mean? A mystical vision? No. It's by the Word. In the bulletin is written a beautiful meditation by J.C. Philpott, and I believe he explains it so clearly. Read it. Read it when you get home. So when did God the Father reveal this to Peter? How? In what way? Let's look at an example of Peter. Because he confessed, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. How? When? Where? Do we know? Do God's people know when they see him for the first time? Oh, they know. They know. You see your wife, your girlfriend for the first time. You're drawn. You see him. But all those blessed people, when he, through the Word, comes through the lattice of the Word and reveals himself and they see him revealed to them, they will never forget. Because he becomes altogether lovely and precious and their hearts go out to him. And they want to see him more. So how? How did Peter? Where? Can we even say? Does Peter know? Peter knows. Open your Bible to John chapter 1. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist had a question. He had a question. Who art thou? They were wondering if he was the Christ. If he was the Messiah. And he confessed, I am not the Christ, as we read in verse 20. And then verse 29, we see John standing there, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And he preached, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And in the following verses, he testifies of the baptism of Jesus Christ. And then we come to verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And then verse 35, again the next day. Again he saw the Lord Jesus. And again he proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God. John simply put it, he preached the gospel. He proclaimed and lifted up Christ among those people. What was the effect? What was the effect? Verse 37. Two of them began to follow him. Who were they? One was Andrew. Who's Andrew? He's the brother of Peter. And now let's read verse 41 and 42. John 1, verse 41 and 42. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So I'd like to focus on a couple words. First, he first findeth. That word, that means before Andrew did absolutely anything else, he had to go and tell his dear brother Peter. And what did he tell him? We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. What does the word found mean? That means that they were seeking. He knows his brother with him together. What a blessed family, two brothers. They were seeking. They were seeking that Messiah. Who seeks? Lost ones. So we may see. No, we're not putting things in the Bible, but we see from the word that Andrew and Peter were searching for the Messiah. And Andrew heard him, saw. It's him. And immediately he goes to his dear brother. What a blessed brother. What a blessed brother. What a blessed brother to have. A brother. He brought him to Jesus. So we read. Andrew, can you picture it? Peter. I found the Christ. I found him of the Old Testament. I've heard of him. I found him who is the Savior of sinners. And then we read, brought. He guided him. Why? Because Peter, where is he? I want to see him. I want to talk to him. I want to be with him. Andrew, my dear brother, thank you for telling me, but guide me. Guide me to him. What drew Peter? What? Was it Andrew? No, it was the words that Andrew shared. The words of the preaching. The words of the word of God. The facts of who that precious Savior is. Because I may be absolutely certain that Andrew came and told them a little summary of the sermon, told them of who that Savior was, that he's the Lamb of God. He's here, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But also the Son of God, he's here. God the Father revealed through the word, through the testimony of the word, he revealed to Peter. And so Peter didn't say, well, thank you for telling me. I'll wait. I want to go fishing today. I'll go tomorrow. No, Peter immediately brought him to Jesus. He couldn't wait. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's those hearts. They hear of him. And they hear of him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they believe it's him. Revealed to him in their hearts by the word, by the Spirit. And they go out to him. To him, the precious Savior. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so, congregation, a personal question. You don't have to answer me. I myself need to answer. Who am I? It's Christ's question. Who am I? To you, to your soul. And can you confess with your heart, with a testimony, of the Holy Spirit, because God the Father revealed to you not only of who you are, but who he is through his Son, and that you just had to confess. He is the one. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Savior of sinners. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son has not life. And you, who may testify this morning, whoever you are here or listening along, that may know by the word, by the free and sovereign grace of God, that you were made alive. Your eyes were opened before the law. I'm sin. I'm one mass of sin. I'm lost. I'm guilty before such a holy, good-doing God. And I hunger and thirst for him, for his favor, for communion. But I'm lost and I have no way in myself. But that he revealed through the gospel, that precious Savior. You saw a little something of him. And your heart went out to him. It was revealed. And your heart today should be broken. Why me? Why me? Why not those millions in this world who have no knowledge at all? Why me? It's because of him. Because of his free and sovereign grace. Why are there young people that want to make public confession of faith? Because of him. Because of his goodness. His goodness. All glory to him. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But maybe you say, I've made confession. Or maybe you say, I'm going to make confession, but I feel I missed this. I miss it. I miss it all. Is that you this morning? What must I say to you? Confess your guilt. Confess your guilt. Confess your hard-heartedness. Under all the preaching of the law and gospel, confess it. What else? If we know someone has the power and the ability and willingness to give exactly what we need, what would you do? I'm sure we would go to the door and knock. I need this. What do I mean? Become a beggar. May you become a beggar if you missed this all this morning. A beggar. A beggar at the door of grace. No rights. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. I heard what a blessing to belong to the precious Savior, to know him. But I miss it all. Beg him for that grace. And may you have no rest. And may you, by God's grace, be able to say what we read in Psalm 106, verse 4 and 5. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. If you miss it all, may you become a lost, poor beggar. And he hears the needy when they cry. A question, a confession, and a revelation. That's my prayer, that you may know this life of grace. Let us sing now from Psalter 290. 290, stanzas 4 and 5. O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see. The grace thou showest to the saints, that grace reveal to me. 290, 4 and 5. Ask our dear young friends to please rise. And I will ask you four questions, and then I will ask you each individually what is your answer. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, and may that be your hope and prayer, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and adorn your confession with good works? Do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in this life? Brandon Walter Hofflacken, what is your answer? Elena Marie Coolmes, what is your answer? Rebecca Kathleen Korvar, what is your answer? Aaliyah Joyce Kopilar, what is your answer? Nathan William Averink, what is your answer? Yes. Johannes Willem Scholten, what is your answer? Yes. Carrie Jean Stubby, what is your answer? Shaylin Renee Van Woerden, what is your answer? Yes. And Wilhelmus Theodorus Van Woerden, what is your answer? Dear friends, the Lord has heard your answer, but also the whole congregation, your parents. And we with wholehearted joy may welcome you as members of this sinful church with sinful members, and you are sinners. We wholeheartedly welcome you, and may you receive a blessing, not from me, not from the consistory, but may you receive a blessing. That blessing that we hear that Peter had, that blessing of his grace and his heart and the revelation, not only of who he was, because we can learn all the mystery and we don't have the Savior, we're lost. But also, that the precious Savior may be revealed unto you, that you may know him and that he may know you, that you may be by God's grace one of his dear sheep. It was a joy to teach you. And thank you for your attentions, for your patience, for me as a sinful instructor. And I pray that the Lord may richly bless you, and that you may be a blessing in this congregation, but now as members. You have a responsibility. What's your responsibility? Part of church discipline. Yeah? Part of church discipline. What you read. You need to also walk together in love with the whole congregation. And if you see someone in sin, don't tell me. Don't tell anyone else. Talk to them. That's part of the responsibility. What else? Prayer. I hope you already are a praying person. If not, I hope you become one. That you pray for the whole flock, for the whole family. You pray for the sinner in the pulpit. You pray for a blessing on the word of God for your soul and for others. And I pray that you may learn. Know, if you don't already, come to know that only comfort in life and in death belonging to that only precious Savior. And it will include three things. No, it doesn't change. How great my sins are. What a lesson. Good, painful. But what a blessing, because the Lord uses the law as a schoolmaster to bring unto Christ. But also to know that great deliverer, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And there's so much to say of him. May you open the word, and may you beg him, teach me. Teach me who I am. Teach me who thou art. Show thyself, reveal thyself. Speak to my soul. That I am thy salvation, and that you have no rest until you may rest in him. And what a blessing that you may make with your mouth, and may it be with a heart. The Lord knows your hearts. And may you have rest in him. And you say, maybe, do I even know him? Is that your question? then ask him to teach you. And may you pray. By God's grace, what we read in Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. May this be true in your life unto the end of your life. Students in Confession of Faith class, but may you become or remain and then remain forever a student in the school of grace. What a blessing. Congregation, let us sing together as a prayer. May you sing it as a personal prayer. May we sing it as a prayer for them. Psalter 415, stanza 2. And we'll do that standing. And after that, we will sing the doxology. 415, stanza 2. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.